You're listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Multidimensional Health with Dr. Tony provides a truly holistic overview of health and vital well-being that will assist you in living your best life. Each week, she brings you fascinating topics about the Law of Attraction, Eastern medicine, as well as energy medicine that will help you to release physical and emotional blocks. It's time to create a truly magical life full of abundance, health, love, and happiness. Dr. Tony has the answers you have been waiting for.
Welcome, everyone, to Multidimensional Health with Dr. Tony. I just love supporting and empowering people who are motivated to improve their health and overall well-being naturally. That is why I'm dedicating today's show to talk to you about immunity. The threat of infectious diseases has become a serious topic these days. More and more people are seeking information regarding how the immune system works and how to decrease the risk of contagious disease. And taking charge of your health by keeping your immune system healthy and strong is a key step to accomplishing this. So I'm really excited today to share the ins and outs of this complicated system with you. The complex processes of your immune system are vital to your health. When the immune system is compromised, even the most common harmless infections can become serious. The good news is there are things we can do to ensure the optimal function of our immune system, and I will be discussing some of them later on. So let's get started on learning how our immune system works. While our immune system is functioning properly, we don't even notice it's there. But the second we feel sick, we know there's been a breach in our immune system. The immune system is our first line of defense when it comes to protecting us against harm, and it is activated by anything the body doesn't recognize as its own. When certain bacteria, fungi, or viruses are introduced into our system, a whole series of processes are triggered in the body. One of the most amazing jobs of our immune system is to store information about the harmful invaders and how to fight it. This process is called adapted or acquired immunity. The adapted immune system makes antibodies and uses them to specifically fight certain germs that the body has previously come into contact with. The adapted immune system works closely with a second immune response called the innate immunity. The innate immunity system provides a general defense against harmful germs and substances using immune cells such as natural killer cells and phagocytes. The main components of the immune system include the white blood cells, antibodies, the lymphatic system, the spleen, bone marrow, and the thymus gland. The skin is your body's first line of defense to prevent outside pathogens from entering the body. The gut also plays a crucial role in the immunity, as up to 80% of the immune cells are created within your gut. The immune system is responsible for protecting us against infectious agents. Infections occur when viruses, bacteria, or other microbes enter your body and begin to multiply. The spreading of microbes is called transmission. This process does not always lead to disease. However, when the cells are damaged, causing symptoms, disease can follow. The immune system springs into action in response to the infection. Many of the symptoms that make a person suffer during infection, such as fever, headache, rash, and just feeling overall icky, result from the activities of the immune system trying to eliminate the infection from the body. The process of transmission involves a number of stages. Number one, it escapes from the host of the infection. Number two, it transfers to a new host. Number three, it enters into the new host. Number four, it escapes from the new host. Different pathogens have different modes of transmission. Some common routes of transmission of infectious diseases include person to person, food, and insects. The common cold, for example, is common because it's so easily transferred from a person to person. The cold can be easily spread by shaking the hand of a person who has a cold and who has just used their hand to wipe their dripping nose. Now, the presence of germs does not constitute the presence of disease. Even in the worst epidemics, there are always people who either don't get sick or whose symptoms are mild and quickly resolve. Not to mention, about a third of people who are infected remain asymptomatic. For example, scientists at Washington University in St. Louis conducted an extensive analysis of the kinds and numbers of viruses found in healthy individuals. They report that the average healthy individual is carrying at least five types of viruses. The study also showed that for 92% of the participants, at least one type of virus show up in their samples, while some had as many as 10 to 15 different types of viruses present. This means that a person can also spread germs to others even if they do not have symptoms. Like us, certain microbes need nutrients for growth. They like to consume the same food as us and can cause the unpleasant symptoms of food poisoning, such as sickness and diarrhea, when we eat the contaminated food. Mosquitoes and flea bites are also responsible for spreading many diseases by passing on parasites and bacteria which enter our bloodstream. Without the immune system's help to destroy these infectious agents, we'll be sick all the time. Now, let's get to know the type of germs that can invade our bodies. When it comes to germs, there are several different categories of germs that can negatively impact our health. But the great news is that our immune system is equipped to handle them all. Germs refer to the microscopic bacteria, viruses, fungi, and protozoa that causes disease. Now let's take a deeper look at each one. Bacteria are tiny single-cell organisms that get their nutrients from their environment, which can be our bodies. Harmful bacteria can cause various infections and cavities. Not all bacteria are harmful. For example, some help keep the digestive system healthy, working in order, and keep harmful bacteria from moving in. Some bacteria are used to make medicines and vaccines. Viruses are even smaller than bacteria, and they need to use another cell structure to reproduce. They can only survive if they're living inside something else. Viruses are very good at surviving. They can analyze the nature of the immune response that occurs against them, and they can alter themselves or the immune defense of their host in order to avoid it. Viruses spread easily and can make a person sick because they can live in infected body fluids left on surfaces like doorknobs. Infection from viruses can cause minor conditions like colds to serious diseases like HIV. Moreover, viruses, when not in a living cell, go into a state of hibernation, much like plant seeds do. And in this state of dormancy, they move with air currents, in water, or simply rest dormant on the ground until they come in contact with a life form that contains the cells they need to awaken them from their long sleep. At that moment, a virus' first task is to get inside a new host. And when it does find a new host, the struggle begins. And the struggle is to find out which is in better shape, the host organism's immune system or the replicating virus. If the virus is strong or the immune system is compromised in some way, then the virus can really take hold of and illnesses can occur. Many fungal infections, such as athlete's foot and yeast infections, are not dangerous in a healthy person. However, people with weak immune systems may get more serious fungal infections. Protozoa are one-cell organisms like bacteria, but larger. Because they thrive in moisture, intestinal infections and other diseases that are caused by them are spread often through contaminated water. Now that I talked about the type of pathogens or germs that our immune system often confronts, let's focus on how can we build our immune system. Well, the first thing, and you have heard me say this many times, but what you eat matters. A proper diet is likely the most important factor in determining your immunity. Cambridge University did a study that found higher fruit and vegetable intake resulted in better immune response. It is not just fruits and vegetables that can help you. Also, nuts, seeds, grains, and beans can also protect against harmful bacteria and give your immune system a boost. Avoid processed foods with added sugars to help immune-boosting foods do their job. Intake of adequate calories and micronutrients is vital for optimal immune function. Certain nutrient deficiencies are responsible for severely reducing the immune system's ability to respond. There appears to be a distinct connection between malnutrition and immunity in the elderly due to the macronutrient malnutrition. Older people tend to eat less and often have less variety in their diets. However, it is not just the elderly who need to worry. Anyone on a strict diet, such as extreme diets that emphasize eating one type of nutrient over another, or anyone who has poor eating habits can have a micronutrient deficiency. Stress is another factor that impacts immunity. You're probably aware that stress can be harmful to your health, but did you know that stress can suppress the immune system? Stress can impact your weight, your habits, your gut, and your brain, among many other things. because we're faced with stressors throughout the day, managing stress can be challenging. After all, there's never enough time of the day or enough money if you're a people pleaser, and the word no may not come easy to you. The problem with feeling overwhelmed, burnout, and stress throughout the day is the constant release of the stress hormone such as cortisol. Cortisol increases glucose in your bloodstream and ships it to your brain in an effort to prepare you for the fight or flee. At the same time, non-essential functions like your immune system and your digestive system are down-regulated for flight or fight. So what can you do for fast relief? Well, it's super easy. Deep breathing. And here's how. Place a hand on your belly and the other on your chest. Slowly breathe in through your nose. The hand on your stomach should move while the one on your chest should stay pretty much at the same spot. If it looks like you have a Buddha belly, you have nailed it. Exhale through your mouth. It should be slightly open. Once you have nailed the technique, you won't need to use your hands, and you can remind yourself to practice this breath several times throughout the day. It will automatically reset your brain and reduce stress immediately. Regular physical activity will also help reduce stress, but this deep breathing technique will instantly provide relief. And finally, herbal supplements made with adaptogen herbs like ginseng, rhodiola, astragalus, and licorice can not only help you manage cortisol levels, but also help you reverse the side effects that stress can cause on your body. You can find a great herbal adaptogen formula on my website. There are also great herbs called nervines that help you manage stress and anxiety. The list of these herbs includes, but is not limited to, skullcap, wood betony, hops, lavender, California poppy, and valerian root. You can also find great stress-relieving formulas on my website. Also, studies have shown that essential oils used in aromatherapy, such as lavender, lemon, bergamot, ylang-ylang, geranium rose, clary sage, jasmine, and frankincense, can relieve stress, relax the body, and promote better sleep. My experience with essential oils in relation to stress is that it's not so much the essential oil properties that relax you, but it also matters how you feel about the scent. For example, lavender is one of the best anti-anxiety, anti-stress herbs, but there are people that just do not like the scent. So if they use lavender essential oil, they will end up more stressed because they don't like the scent. And it's better for them to choose a scent that is not known to be relaxing, but they find it relaxing and they really love it and make them feel good. Stress also impacts the quality of sleep, and sleep plays an essential role in how your immune system functions. Studies have shown that people who don't get quality sleep or enough sleep are more likely to get sick after being exposed to a virus. Additionally, lack of sleep can affect how long it takes for you to recover from illness. The immune system releases proteins called cytokines during sleep. When you're under stress or fighting an infection, we need more cytokines. Additionally, the formation of infection-fighting antibodies and cells is reduced when you don't get enough sleep. Without enough sleep, your body can't equip itself with enough immune system ammunition to fight an illness. In fact, chronic sleep loss can also increase your risk of obesity, diabetes, and heart disease. The average adult requires 7 to 8 hours of sleep each night. Keep in mind, missed sleep cannot be restored. If you have trouble falling asleep or staying asleep, there are things you can do to ensure better night's rest. First, make sure to create a calm sleep environment. This means a clutter-free, dark, cool room. Next, create a nighttime routine to help signal your body that it's time to sleep. Try doing relaxing activities such as stretching or taking a warm bath. Avoid looking at emails or social media, which can cause stress. And of course, avoid the news before bedtime. If you have problem turning off your thoughts, try journaling at night or jotting down the things you want to remember for tomorrow. Deep breathing and meditation can also help. Nerving herbs like the ones I mentioned earlier are also a great option to help you sleep. You can also find great sleeping formulas to manage stress and sleep on my website. Finally, you can try diffusing relaxing essential oils such as lavender, frankincense, geranium, and the other ones that I mentioned earlier to help calm your body for sleep. Now, let's talk about allergies. If you experience seasonal allergies, you know firsthand the results of an overactive immune response. Sneezing, itchy eyes, and mucus production are all ways your immune system reacts to threats. This is your acquired immune system at play. When the immune system identifies an invader as a threat, all hands are on deck. White blood cells go to work storing the information so the next time you're exposed, the immune system knows how to fight it. One way to prevent hypersensitivity immune response to substances is through exposure. This is how vaccinations work. By introducing a small amount of the pathogen to the immune system, your body stores the information so it knows how to launch it in a future attack. One way to help prevent the immune system from going into override during seasonal allergy peaks is to introduce small amounts of the perceived danger. This can be done with local bee pollen. Bee pollen is considered so beneficial that the German Federal Board of Health recognizes it as a medicine. Bee pollen is a ball of pollen made by young bees when they land on a flower, which is why it's essential that the bee pollen that you take for your allergies is local. That way you combat local threats. Now, I don't like to promote bee pollen, not because it's not a good product, but because it takes 8 hours for a bee to produce 1 teaspoon of pollen. And I think we should focus more on eating healthy, doing exercise, and not stressing to boost our immune system instead of over consuming bee pollen and putting our bees in danger. Now, another way to help your immune system is through personal hygiene. Most of us already have a hygiene practice in place, such as showering, brushing our teeth, and washing our clothes. But sometimes this isn't enough. We are surrounded by billions of microbes, so it is essential we protect against the spread of harmful bacteria and viruses while keeping the beneficial bacteria around us to protect us. It may be tempting to stock up on antibacterial everything and spray every surface of your home with Lysol, but harsh chemicals may be doing more harm than good. Children are the most impacted by these toxins. Lysol disinfectant spray contains ethanol and carbon dioxide, two very toxic chemicals that should not come into contact with children's mouth or skin. Ethanol is the primary ingredient in Lysol spray and is highly flammable, especially under pressure. Prolonged inhalation in a close environment will create headaches, cough, fatigue, and drowsiness. Skin exposure might result in severe redness and burning. Lysol spray uses denaturated ethanol, which can cause ethanol poisoning when ingested. Lysol spray also contains carbon dioxide. It's colorless and odorless. In low amounts, carbon dioxide can affect your concentration. Increased amounts will cause your breathing rate to increase, and prolonged exposure can cause death from suffocation. Commercial advertising from Lysol disinfectant spray create the false assumption that Lysol disinfectant spray can be sprayed on toys and surfaces with no further action. However, directions on each can of Lysol clearly explain that Lysol disinfectant spray should be rinsed off before use of the toys or surfaces that were sprayed. Clorox wipes, which is one of the most used disinfecting products in the United States, clearly states in the canister that it's hazardous to human and domestic animals, and that you need to wash your hands thoroughly with soap and water after handling. And this means that after you finish disinfecting, you have to come back to that surface with soap and water and remove the disinfectant out of the surface. It is important for you to know that these disinfectant products are low amounts of registered pesticides, ammonia, and other ingredients that not only cause eye and skin irritation, but also headaches and upper respiratory problems, including asthma. Also, it is a fact that pesticides are known to cause gluten intolerance, leaky gut, oxidative stress, weakened immunity, and are estrogen disruptors. Additionally, in toxic doses, these toxins can negatively affect your health and are also known to cause cancer, organ failure in development, and neurological and reproductive problems. Toxins can cause leaky gut, and as a result, the body cannot absorb essential nutrients, which can lead to chronic illnesses, hormone imbalances, and weakened immune system. And lastly, pesticides have been linked to many chronic illnesses, such as autoimmune disorders. Okay, now let's talk about hand sanitizers. Non-alcohol-based hand sanitizers contain an antibiotic compound called triclosan. This ingredient can also be found in soaps and even toothpaste. These products are often labeled antibacterial, antimicrobial, or antiseptic soaps. This antibiotic causes hormone disruptions, and studies have shown that triclosan can also harm the immune system, making people susceptible to allergies and autoimmune conditions, not to mention creating resistant bacteria. Some of them also contain synthetic fragrances, which are endocrine disruptors that mimic hormones and could alter genital development. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration says triclosan could carry unnecessary risks, given that their benefits have not yet been proved. So instead of using this toxic product, here are a few healthy hygiene tips that can help you. The power of regular hand washing cannot be overstated. Simply running water over your hands isn't enough, though. You need to wash your hands with soap for at least 20 seconds, and that will adequately remove bacteria and help you from spreading germs. If you're doing this many times during the day and your hands start to feel dried out, be sure to moisturize. You don't want cracked skin because it exposes your body to germs. Now, for cleaning surfaces on your home, distilled white vinegar can be used as a non-toxic disinfectant agent. But you can also create a natural disinfectant that is to use for cleaning. And I'll give you the recipe now. Half a cup of vodka or 1 tablespoon as rubbing alcohol. 3 tablespoons of Castile soap. If you're using vodka, use 1.5 cups of distilled water. But if you're using rubbing alcohol, use 15 ounces of distilled water. And lastly, 60 to 80 drops of an antimicrobial essential oil blend, such as tea tree oil, thyme, cinnamon, and clove. You can find many antimicrobial essential oil formulas on my website. Now, here's another formula you might find useful. Many aromatherapists and herbalists are familiar with a notorious essential oil blend of the past, a mysterious potion based on a recipe that originated in the 15th century. According to legend, the concoction was created by a group of 4 thieves and grave robbers to protect themselves from contracting the plague while robbing the bodies of the sick and diseased. When apprehended, the thieves admitted to using the formula and disclosed the recipe in order to receive a less severe punishment for their crimes. Back then, they used to use herbs, but now we have essential oils that can be used instead. It's quicker and easier to do. So if you want to mix your own thieves formula, here's the recipe. 40 drops of clove, 35 drops of lemon, 20 drops of cinnamon, 15 drops of eucalyptus, 10 drops of rosemary. This is the classic recipe, but you can customize it by adding the proportions or adding other essential oils such as tea tree, oregano, thyme, sage, lavender, juniper, basil, or pine. And the way you make it is mix all the essential oils together in a dark glass bottle. This blend is very strong and must be diluted for safe use. The essential oil content should only account for 1 to 2% of the total formula. This means that when formulating a homemade cleaning products or other creations, 6 to 12 drops of essential oil can be added per ounce of carrier oil or other menstruum. And for my previous formula, just use between 60 and 80 drops of this mix into the cleaning solution formula that I mentioned earlier. Now, if you prefer to buy the formula already mixed, you can visit my website. It's under the name Pirate's Defense. Again, Pirate Defense. You can also take herbal supplements to support your immune system. There is much evidence that immune support herbs act to stimulate or modulate the immune system. Immune modulators bring about increased resistance through a nonspecific self-regulating process. These herbs work to increase innate immunity and provide vital support to the immune system. On the other hand, we also have herbs that are called immune stimulants, and those boost the activity of the immune system but are not known to normalize excessive immune response. Consequently, they're not recommended for people that have autoimmune disorders. Instead, people with autoimmune disorders may use immune modulating herbs. There are quite a few immune support herbs, including adaptogens, which are substances that help the body better cope with mental and physical stress. Some of the best researched immune herbs include, but are not limited to, astragalus, black elderberry, echinacea, eleuthero, ginseng, green tea, rose hips, shiitake, and reishi mushrooms. The importance of immune health cannot be overstated. As you can see, your daily habits are super important to keep the immune system strong and functioning well. And this includes the foods you eat, exercise, sleep routines, environmental toxins, and emotional stress. The following are lifestyle suggestions that I can give you to support your immune system. Don't smoke. Eat a diet high in fruits, vegetables, and whole grains, and low in saturated fat. Preferably, follow an anti-inflammatory diet. Minimize the amount of processed food you eat. And if you do eat whole grains and legumes, soak them overnight before cooking them. Grains and legumes have phytic acid and enzyme inhibitors. Both they can impact their digestion. But if you soak them overnight or for at least 7 hours, you can get rid of them. Just give them a quick rinse after you soak them and then you can start cooking them. Grains and legumes are full of nutrients and they're essential to keep your immune system strong. They have magnesium, selenium, and other minerals. So don't cut them out your diet. Just soak them overnight and then cook them. Reduce or eliminate refined sugar intake. Eating or drinking too much sugar suppresses the immune system cells that attack bacteria. Instead, moderately use sugar substitutes such as honey, agave, or maple syrup. Exercise regularly, but not in excess. Studies show that at least 30 minutes of exercise on most days of the week increases immune function. However, excessive exercise regimens can temporarily hinder the immune system function. Maintain a healthy weight. If you drink alcohol, drink only in moderation. Get adequate sleep. Reduce or eliminate your coffee intake, preferably to 1 or 2 cups a day or not at all. Caffeine may raise levels of the stress hormone cortisol, which suppresses the immune system. If you're already a coffee drinker, try substituting it for green tea. Green tea has less than half as much caffeine and is rich in antioxidants. It's also an antimicrobial. There are also quite a few coffee substitute products that you may use as safe alternatives to coffee, like Ticino or Dandelion Blend. Stay warm. Maintaining your body temperature helps your body defend against invasion by viruses. Viruses thrive and replicate faster when your body temperature drops. Even if it drops by 1 degree, it leaves you more vulnerable to develop a full-blown illness. If your temperature drops further than 1 degree, like to the point that you're shivering, it is almost for sure that you're going to get sick, especially when combined with exposure to other elements such as wind, rain, or snow. Minimize taking medications such as anti-inflammatories, antibiotics, acid-blocking drugs, and steroids. They all damage the gut and block normal digestive function. And we all know by now that a healthy gut means a healthy immune system. And manage stress and anxiety. I want to emphasize stress management here. We cannot underestimate the damage stress causes to our body. Chronic stress suppresses the ability of the immune system to function properly. For example, studies have shown that severely stressful events can cause up to 50% reduction of killer cell activity. Chronic stress preceding an acute stressful event also significantly affects killer cell activity. An important goal for those under chronic stress is the management of life stresses. I know that total elimination of stress is unrealistic, since stress is part of a normal life, but learning to manage will be key to staying healthy. There are many ways to manage stress. For example, research has found that just the simple act of journaling about stressful incidents improves immune function. And now there are hundreds of other different relaxation techniques to help you manage stress. And they include yoga, guided imagery, biofeedback, qigong, meditation, and progressive muscle relaxation. Find the one that is best for your needs and make it a priority to work on managing stress daily. There's also herbs that you can take to help you manage stress and anxiety. Herbs are a wonderful option to reduce stress and anxiety, and they'll also directly benefit your nervous system. If you're under chronic stress or anxiety, you will definitely benefit by taking a nerve tonic daily. That's because herbal therapy not only calms our nerves, but it also increases our ability to cope with stress. In conclusion, by eating healthy foods, getting enough sleep, and reducing stress, you can help your immune system stay strong and fight unwanted invaders, as well as prevent diseases like cancer and autoimmune disorders. So I hope you have found today's show useful to keeping your immune system healthy and strong. And if you need more non-toxic cleaning ideas, let me know. Email me. Or if you have any questions or concerns, just email me at tony@drtonycamacho.com and I will get back to you as soon as I can. Thank you for joining me today and I will see you next week.
Thank you for tuning into Multidimensional Health Show. For more information or to schedule a private consultation, go to www.drtonycamacho.com. Have a great week.